I don't think there's a number of you are not getting older with that sermon intro video. You can have copies of it. Ask Louis. I'm sure he'll give it to you. If you're joining us, we are in this series from Psalm 23, the most famous psalm ever. We're breaking apart phrase by phrase. And several weeks back, it was nice for me just to not start a series and actually several weeks just to sit out here and multiple services and to walk around and be up in the tech room and seeing people serve. And several observations was, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Some of you are just faithful time and time and time again. I also noticed how many children keep coming into this place, and I love it. And our rooms downstairs are filling up. We've had to move rooms around because they ran out of space. And I also noticed precious little ones being carried in, and they're sound asleep. I don't know if they stay asleep during the songs or they wake up, but I appreciated when the time for the Word of God to be open, as soon as a child was noticeable, the parents, you just were great partners with us and took them in the lobby for them to calm down or to be fed in our family room and take advantage of those options. I just want to say thank you. So when it comes to the opening of God's Word, we're trying our very best upstairs, here, everywhere, to make sure that the enemy who doesn't want us to hear God's Word, try to keep all the distractions as low as possible. So parents, thank you for partnering with us. So last weekend, I wasn't here because I had a chance to do a wedding of a longtime friend of mine. And for years and years, actually decades, he thought, I'll never get married. Never get married. And at 43, last weekend, he got married. And it was like, you know, I waited. God, were you going to answer my prayer? And I'm like, Jeremy, you had to wait. She's still in elementary school, you know, so just got to wait, you know, and beautiful. And so months ago, I said, Mike, I know I was gone too. Came back, taught one. I got to be gone again. I've got to do this wedding. And it was so fun, honored to do that. So now you're stuck with me through the end, all every Sunday through summer. We are going through this. And last week, Pastor Mike walked through this passage. And let's all say it together. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. A lot of us have had that memorized for years, but to walk through it is not fun. Here's a picture that I think captures this valley, the shadow of death. I saw this years ago, and here we see in the sunlight in the dark valley. And we don't know if they've just come out of the valley or about to walk into it, and we don't know. You know if you're in the valley. Like, when will I get out of this valley? And some of you in the sunlight, and you don't know what's around the corner, and it could be the valley of the shadow of death. But I love this. I don't know if you can see this, but above there is a faint rainbow, symbolic of God is with you. You see, it's in the valley of the shadow of death that it is really determined if the Lord is your shepherd or not. It's easy for him to be your shepherd in the sunlight, but he is really, you understand, if he's your shepherd or not when you go through the valley. Our family's been going through the valley of the shadow of death, and some of you understand, I've been praying, and my wife's younger sister, Shelly, has been battling very, very aggressive brain cancer. And we got the word Thursday at 1 that she went into the presence of God. And we had a good cry, but our family and Shelly's husband and two kids, they're right in the middle of it. And it's true. He is with us every step of the way. But this verse doesn't end. We're not done with this verse. It goes on to say, let's all say it together, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is challenging. In the verse before this that I taught, that he guides us through the paths of righteousness. He guides us through the right paths. And God, sometimes the right path is for us to go through the valley. And even though it's hard and dark and scary, and then it goes that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I mean, that's kind of a weird word as I unpack it. And if you're taking notes, if you're a note taker, you're really happy today. There's a lot of blanks, and you're like, oh, about time, Perry. And so I've thrown you a bone. But here's the central point. is that comfort from the Good Shepherd comes in various forms. Comfort from the Good Shepherd comes in various forms. God is a God of variety, and he's going to use his rod and his staff to comfort us. So let's unpack that. Now, when the ancient shepherd would go out with the sheep, he carried very little equipment. He usually had a knapsack, something, some type of bag that had some food and some water. And then he also had some, like that era's first aid kit, mainly several kinds of oil that they would put on the sheep. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday. Now, by the way, you got to be back next Sunday. I am already nervous about next week, and I hardly ever get nervous to speak. I'm more excited. But next week, I am way outside my comfort zone. I'm going to teach in a way that I've never taught before. So you got to pray for me, all right? But be here. It's going to be great. We're going to unpack that next verse. So they got a knapsack with food and water and the first aid kit of oil, but then they also carry with them a rod and a staff. Two simple pieces of equipment that we're going to understand as David was a shepherd bragging on the Good Shepherd of what God does to comfort us. He uses a variety of ways. So let's unpack the rod. The rod comforts me. The rod, a shepherd back then, they would find like an oak sapling and it would cut it to fit the shape of his hand and the size of his body. And that's a really, really hard, dense kind of wood. And they would carry it around. Remember back in the day, policemen would carry around billy clubs, you know, those long, skinny, not too long of hard wood. We grew up, there's always people living in our house, and this guy named Frank wanted to be a policeman and then the FBI, and I don't know if he ever got there, but he had a billy club, and I'm a teenager, smart aleck, and I said, does that thing really hurt? And he whacked my leg, not very hard, he's like, bam, and I'm like, oh, you know, I was down. It's so deceptive, but the rod was a very dense, hard wood that they would shape to fit their hand, and they used it in a variety of ways. Now, if you're taking notes, the rod was a symbol of the shepherd's power, strength, and authority. The rod was the symbol of a shepherd's power, strength, and authority. That rod was an extension of who he was and who he is. And without that rod, the shepherd would be defenseless because he used that rod to defend them and his sheep. It was an extension. Now, symbolically, for your notes, the rod is symbolic of the Word of God. That the Word of God is an extension of our Good Shepherd, an extension of God the Father. And the Word of God represents God's power, strength, and authority. That's why you have to, wherever God leads you, or if God moves you, transfer you, you got to find a church that teaches the Word of God. Because that's an extension of God, his power, strength, and authority. Power, strength, and authority. And that's why you can't mishandle it. You can't go to a place that takes God's word and twist it around to say what they want to say. You got to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to have good hermeneutics, meaning what does the context say? What does God say? Not what I want it to say, but what is it? Why? Because it's an extension of God, his power, strength, and authority. Now, when the shepherd had a rod, there were purposes for that rod. Here are four purposes of the rod. The first one is it was an instrument of protection. An instrument of protection. They would use that rod to ward off predators. When they went into a pasture that had high grass, snakes would sleep in the grass. And he'd walk through that pasture with high grass and would lift up rocks and just smash the snakes really quick to death. And it was, he wanted to protect his flock. He wanted to protect his sheep. So when we read in the Old Testament about David as a teenager killing Goliath, we understand why he wrote Psalm 23, because he was a shepherd, and here he goes to the battlefield to give his brother some cheese and crackers, and he hears this Goliath, you know, the famous story, like, what happens to the person who kills that dude? Word gets to King Saul, bring this guy out who's willing to fight one-on-one, the giant, and Saul looks at this teenager and goes, you can't do this. You're just a kid. He's been a warrior since he was a youth. What qualifications do you have to be a giant killer? I mean, what's your resume, boy? What did David say? He says, well, I was watching my sheep, and one day a lion took Fluffy in its mouth. And then one day a bear took Fluffy, and that Fluffy has a hard life. And they were taking my sheep, and they were. He goes, I ran after them, two separate occasions, and I hit them and then killed them. Well, what did he hit the bear and the lion with? The rod. Went up and bam, you know, and then killed them. Like, leave Fluffy alone. Don't you mess with my sheep. Why? Because the rod was an instrument of protection. God's word is an instrument of protection for us. There's not just flowery statements about love everybody. There's in God's word, God goes, I'm going to say these things because I want to protect you. He's saying this to believers. If you're my family, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm not saying don't be their friends and care for them, be good employees and friends. But your closest relationships, your relationships that cause a commitment, do not be unequally yoked together. Because you're going to miss the spiritual aspect. If you go into business with someone, they're going to have a different set of spiritual values than you. If you get into a marriage or a dating relationship within marriage, you're going to miss completely the core strength of your marriage is the spiritual aspect. So he says it for our protection, not to be mean. He says in God's word, children, honor and obey your parents, for it will go well with you if you do. And all the parents said, Bridget, that's right. Even says a long life. And protection. The Bible says that watch out for the love of money. Because the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. The source of greed and swindling and taking advantage of people and manipulating people and breaking up relationships is because of I want more money. And he says in that passage that the love of money will pierce you with many griefs. That's for our protection, for our protection. The reason why God says flee from sexual immorality, meaning do not have sexual intimacy with anybody other than your spouse. Husband, that's just your wife. That's it. Wives, that's just your husbands. And he's not saying it because God hates sex. No, he loves it. He invented it. He gave it as a wedding gift for husband's wife. But he's saying it to the children, to teenagers, adults, older. He says, flee from sexual immorality. Why? It's for your protection. I'm trying to protect your relationships. I'm trying to protect your purity. I'm trying to protect the next generation and your future. God's word is an instrument of protection. Second purpose for the rod is an instrument of warning. An instrument of warning. You see, when a shepherd looked off and he saw a sheep, okay, now that sheep is headed toward a little gully. In that gully is some poisonous weeds. Or when he saw a sheep kind of wandering off in a different direction, too far away from the shepherd and the rest of the sheep. When he saw something coming up that would be dangerous to the sheep, many times you call them by name, they would name them. That's what God says, my sheep know my voice, and they call them by name. He tries to warn them by name. And if they didn't heed his warning, the ancient shepherd would take the rod, unhook the little leather strap, and take it and in the direction of the sheep. Not to hit the sheep, but to get close. And this little sheep is like, whoa. And it's like, oh, let me go back. Okay, I'm going to go back over here. And he's trying to warn them, there's danger ahead. I'm trying to hit you, but I'm trying to warn you. Because if you keep going in that direction, if you keep going away, bad things are going to happen. So they would take the club and throw it to warn the sheep. You see, the word of God is an instrument of warning. God loves us enough to warn us. Proverbs 4, guard your heart. I'm trying to tell you, warn, guard your heart, for out of our heart flows the wellsprings of life. The condition of our life is going to be the condition of our heart. Warning. Warning Pride goes before a fall. You think you're all that? Pride is one of the things God hates. Let me just tell you, warn you. Pride goes before a fall, and when you bounce, that pavement's gonna hurt. Be humble. Be careful. Your sin will find you out. No one's the exception. God sees everything. And then the warning in the New Testament, what you sow, you will reap. And he says, God is not mocked. That principle is universal. And they're warning us. Well, hey, if you keep going that direction, there is pain around that corner. Lo, let me, with the word of God, warn you. That's why sometimes it's awkward when we are drifting away from the shepherd, it's awkward to come to church. When we're drifting away from the shepherd, we don't really want to sing worship songs. We don't want to be under the teaching of God's word because it's uncomfortable, because we know we're wandering away. And many times God will use something to get our attention. He's calling us to come back, to stop going in that direction. Well, the third purpose for the rod, it was an instrument of examination. An instrument of examination. So when it was nighttime, they would come back to the sheepfold and they would get in line and start coming from all the hills as he's calling them. And they would pass in a very narrow gate and they would go what is called under the rod. They would go under the rod. He would count them, 1, 2, 3. And he would also take, the shepherd also take the rod and kind of stick it into the fur, into the wool, and kind of separate it. He's looking for bugs. He's looking for infections. He's looking for cuts, and bleeding that's not being showed yet, because he cares for them. If that happened, they would pull them off the side and we'll take care of them. And count of 1, 2, 3, passing under the rod. And it even states fairs today, when they want to show off sheep, they can manipulate the fur and the wool. They can manipulate it, shape it, and color it to hide blemishes. That's the phrase, pulling the wool over our what? Our eyes. We can fake people out. We can fake people out coming even to church. How's things going? Wonderful. We don't tell them, I was horrible this week. I'm in a whole bunch of junk. See, we can't pull the wool over God's eyes. The Word of God examines us. Word of God examines us. And when we are under the teaching of God's Word, we're like, ow. And it's sometimes you get mad at me. You blame the messenger. And I'm like, hey, it's above my pay grade. And I've had people before, in joking or a jest, kind of true. I had teenagers come up after a church service and they're up here and they go, did you talk to my mom this week? Because you said pretty much what she said this week. I'm like, yeah, I did. What? I've heard this. Did you talk to my spouse? Do you have cameras in our house? Do you have microphones in our minivan? I'm like, yes, we do. Oh, no. It's because, wait a second, the Word of God is examining. In fact, Hebrews says this, Hebrews chapter 4, that the Word of God, it's not a book, it's powerful. It's the Word of God. It's living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Meaning it goes all the way deep, deep into our soul. And the Word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. That's why being in a church, regularly reading God's Word, it keeps us from a lot of problems, because it examines us. And we can fake our friends out, our spouse out, our boss out, but we will never pull the wool over God's eyes. There is power in the Word of God. When I was a high school pastor for many years in Southern California, we would graduate our graduates, and then our juniors became the next senior class, and they would have to apply to go to the senior trip. It was a 5-6 week foreign trip, on a foreign mission trip. And so a lot of kids, had hundreds and hundreds of them, they would apply. It was like prime. And I would tell them, you're actually applying as freshmen for the senior trip. And interview and all that sort of stuff. And then we would send them over. And then I couldn't be gone for 5-6 weeks because of the ministry, but I would have leaders and staff But I would come halfway, you know, about halfway into the trip, and I would bring notes from mom and candy and cards from their friends, and I would also take the staff out and treat them. And one year, Candy went with me, my wife went with me, and as soon as we arrived, the main leader, he was elder on our board at Evergreen Fullerton, he said, Barry, come here. I just got there, and he goes, we're having major problems with, and he named a girl. He goes, we're pulling our hair out, and we don't know what to do. I mean, anything we say to do, she doesn't want to do it. She has an attitude toward us. She has an attitude toward everybody. She is, and then he said this, can you do us a favor? I'm like, sure, what is it? Can you take her back home with you when you leave? And I'm like, Mark, do you realize how drastic that would be, how embarrassing that would be for you to come back with your high school pastor halfway through the trip? He goes, I know, but we don't know what to do. I said, let's all meet with her and all the staff. So we went up to the loft, the apartment of the missionary. We all sat in a circle, and I sat right next to her, and we were all speaking truth. And she was just, she had this attitude. No, you're wrong. No, that's not fair. I didn't do that. Just define. And all of us, people who love Jesus and we're serving Jesus, we're speaking truth to her and godly principles. And there was this. And God whispered to me, not like audibly, I would probably faint, but he was like, open my word. Read the word to her. And God gave me this passage, and I put my arm around her. I said, I want you to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. It's like, she started reading it. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When she read God's word, she broke. She began to sob. And she goes, I'm not doing any of this. Will you please forgive me? Can I go to the team and ask them to forgive me? I mean, she didn't even know that there was a threat of her getting sent home early. It was the power of the word of God getting right down to the core of who she is and what she was not doing. And she confessed, and she ended up having a great rest of the trip. And it wasn't because of our truth. So parents, you can just sit your kid down and you're going to teach them truth and da-da-da-da-da. Or you're going to tell your husband this or your wife this, and you can speak truth. There's no power there, but there is power with the word of God. Because it's an extension from the Father. It's an extension from the Good Shepherd of, I'm going to examine you, and you can't fake God out. Instrument of examination. And then the fourth purpose of the rod is this. It's an instrument of discipline. This is like the last case resort. The last case resort is there is an instrument of discipline. So when a shepherd, ancient shepherd, saw a sheep that was, they stopped listening to the shepherd, and they're going, I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to keep going to the next field, and I'm going to be by myself, and I'm going to not come when I'm supposed to come where everybody else is. When a sheep was so stubborn and so ornery and so resistant to the shepherd, do you know what the shepherd would do? He'd go get the sheep, physically pick them up, bring them back, set them down, and would pick up the rod and would break their leg. You're thinking, how cruel? No, hold on. Put the rod down, bandage the wound, make sure that the bone was set, would pick the sheep up, and would carry it the rest of the day. And then, at times, have you seen those pictures? He put the sheep over his neck and hold on and carry the sheep. And then as it was beginning to heal, at times then he would put the sheep down and the little sheep was limping. But an interesting thing would happen. The sheep would stay really close to the shepherd. And it would heal. And most every time, from that point on, wherever the shepherd went, the sheep was right with him. Discipline is hard and painful. And I've prayed this prayer for wandering sheep. God, do whatever it takes to bring them back to you. I've prayed with parents. They don't know what else to do. They've said everything. They did everything right. And they have a wandering son or daughter or wandering grandchild or whatever, or even a wandering spouse. And it's like this prayer, God, you love them. Do whatever it takes. And sometimes it's going to hurt. But I pray, God, in your discipline, be merciful. And a shepherd loves the sheep enough to inflict pain to reset their heart and their attitude. And that's what God does to us. Not to be mean. It's an instrument of discipline because he loves them. He loves them. When God gets our attention, when he, because of our stubbornness, orneriness, defiant attitude, God, sometimes we have to hit bottom, hit the pavement. So then we finally look up and realign ourselves to the shepherd. So that's the rod. Now there's the staff, that long stick, you know, with the hook. No other animal group has a staff but sheep. I mean, you don't see cows being herded with a staff. You don't see pigs or chicken. But sheep, there's a staff, a long staff. For your notes, a shepherd's staff is a symbol of the shepherd's concern, compassion, and kindness. It's unique to the sheep and the shepherd. It's symbolic of that. But for your notes, it's also a symbolic picture of the Spirit of God. The rod is the Word of God, and the staff is the Spirit of God. Various ways that the shepherd comforts his sheep. So the staff has four purposes. First purpose of the staff is to draw sheep together. A shepherd doesn't want sheep scattering and dividing and having fights, so then he'll take and wrap the staff around the shepherd. No, I know you don't like this girl sheep. You're still going to be close to her. All right, you guys are fighting. Oh, I'm going to bring you together. Don't be going giving the sheep hand or the sheep paw or whatever it is. Come on. He wants them all together. He wants you to work through conflict. We're not going to have, sheep clicks. And he would draw the sheep together. God loves his flocks to be unified. Not that they have to agree or like everything, but he wants unity. And that's what a shepherd does. That's what God does for us. Don't be living off on your own. Don't be ignoring them forever. I'm going to draw you together. Another purpose of the staff is to draw sheep to himself. Takes it, doesn't yank them. He may want to. Pulls them to himself, maybe to encourage them, maybe to double check them, maybe to warn them. But he wants them close to himself. Maybe it's to show affection. And the third purpose is to guide the sheep. If he wants the group to move this way, and a little sheep is going that way, he'll just take the long part of the staff and put it against the side of the sheep and put a gentle pressure on it to, I'm supposed to go this way. Oh, this is where you want me to go. Sheep's not being ornery, just, there's sheep. I'm supposed to go this way. No, we're going to go that way. He just guides them. And the Spirit of God is given to believers to teach them and to guide them and to direct their paths and to guide them like, watch your attitude. Hey, when you go home and the issue comes up, shut your mouth. Just keep it shut. Okay, this person needs encouragement. Text them encouragement. The Spirit of God is like, he's guiding us to do things. Like, let me text her. Let me write him. Hey, great job. Because God knows what they need and he uses other sheep to help them. He guides them. gives them directions. John 16, 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, capital T, comes, he will guide you into all truth. God wants to guide us into what is truth and right and wholesome. The question is, will we listen to that gentle guiding, gentle guidance? A few months ago, after this first service, before this service, a lady in our church, she's been here a long time, just beautiful, one of my prayer warriors, she caught me in the hallway by the water fountain. She said, Pastor, I need to share something with you. Something happened after the service that I've never had in all my years walking with Jesus. She said, after the service, a young lady came up to me and said, ma'am, I don't know who you are, but I was impressed by the Holy Spirit to pray for you all service, and I don't know why. But she goes, can I ask you a question? She goes, sure. She goes, I got the impression that you have surgery tomorrow. Do you have surgery tomorrow? And this older godly lady went, I've hardly told anybody, yes, matter of fact, I go into surgery at 10 tomorrow, and I'm a little nervous. She goes, I've been praying for you this whole service for your surgery tomorrow. And this lady goes, how long have you been coming to Grace Point? Oh, this is my first time. Did you move here? No, I'm a visitor from Kansas. I leave today. See, she was listening. She heard the Spirit of God saying, you know what? This lady two rows ahead of you, you don't know her, but pray for her. She has surgery tomorrow. You see, when we're close to the shepherd, he can guide us and go, oh, I know what you want. There's been times I go, God, I don't know who to pray. I got all these prayer sheets. Who should I pray for? Who should I pray for? He'll put a name in my head. I'm like, oh, I haven't talked to that person in a long time. I don't even know what to pray for. So I pray, God, whatever they're going through, da-da-da-da, and then I'll email them. And I said, God just put you on my heart. I pray for you this Thursday. And I get a response back. What time did you pray for me on Thursday? 2 o'clock. Are you kidding me? At 2 o'clock on Thursday, I was going through this. See, the Spirit of God guides us to do things that he wants us to do. And it's so cool when we listen. And there's times I'm driving and he tells me to do something. I'm like, this is crazy. Okay, I'll do it. And I go, and oh my goodness, it's so cool to be used by God in little ways. The fourth purpose of this long staff is to show affection to his sheep. A shepherd see a sheep, maybe a sheep that he had to break his legs a couple years ago, and he'll take the long part of his staff and just kind of rub the side. It's like a little gentle touch. Didn't use words, but he's communicating, I love you. I'm so glad you're close to me. He'll just, you know, a little pat, a little left pat. I learned that from my dad. My dad's in heaven, and on his Father's Day, I think of him and all the time. And you look at my family pictures, and every picture that my dad is in, he's never like this or like this. He's always touching us, arm on the shoulder, hand on the forearm. And he taught me that. And as a youth pastor and as a pastor and even as a coach, I use appropriate touch all the time, because sometimes a touch says more than words. Or you're distracted and you just want to touch somebody to let them know, I notice you, you're important, I care for you. I do that all the time, and my girls, when they were young, they're, oh, and then they got older, like, oh, and I'm like, I don't care, I'm gonna give you a side hug anyways. And one of the most gentle touches that I do for my daughters is they'll be on the couch and I'll walk by, I just place my hand on their head. The head is one of the most tender spots. It's saying, I love you. I'm so glad you're still home and not married. I made that up. That's not my notes. I found myself as a basketball coach. I've coached girls basketball players, teams for 6 years. And I found myself, you know, I go crazy and encouragement and stuff. But there's times when girls would do something and all their friends are, and I'll just put my hand on their head. Just, it's like, great job. I'm at church, and I'm talking to someone, and someone walks by, and I'll just squeeze the elbow, a little pat on the shoulder. I did it after service. It was like, oh, that was one of those pats, Pastor. It's like, I'm in this conversation, but I notice you, and I'm glad you're here. See, that's what the shepherd does to us. Little things. A word, a verse, an email from the friend that really is from God. A song. In fact, I forgot all about this until about 11:30 last night. I wrote it in my notes. About 3 years ago, I was hitting rock bottom. I was struggling. My emotions were collapsing. And I would come on Sunday and preach and put everything in. And no one had, besides my family, a few people, they didn't know I was hurting. And I would collapse after Sundays. And I found out later I was depressed and burnt out and I was hurting. But one day I was really struggling in my office, and my oldest daughter actually called me, and she said, "Dad, Chris Tomlin was just here at the Liberty University, and he just played his brand new album. It's not even out yet, and he gave us samples, and it was amazing. And I just think you should listen to this song. And here's my Spotify account, and it's all there." And I said, "Huh, thanks, honey. I'll listen to it." And I was struggling, and God, where are you? God, why'd you let all these hurts happen? And should I stay in ministry? Should I quit? You know, I was just so down. So I got on her Spotify and listened to the first one, Love Ran Red. And I'm like, oh, I got to give that to Mike. This is a perfect communion song. This is awesome. And then the next song, I knew right away it wasn't from Chris Tomlin. It wasn't from my daughter. It was from God. The new song at then called Jesus Loves Me. When I got to the chorus, it hit me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He is for me. And a well deep inside of me broke. I began to sob. I said, thank you. I needed that. I mean, I was... Man, amazing, I'm emotional. But I lost it. Then I started thinking, oh, I hope the office ladies aren't hearing me lose it. Like, he needs help. But I poured out. And it was like, that's exactly what I needed. I knew God did that to tell you, I loved you. And you may think everybody's against you, but I'm for you. It's perfect. Perfect. That's the kind of good shepherd we have if he's your shepherd. And this verse, I mean, it's just amazing. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And now we understand, okay, now I can see why. But I close with the Hebrew word, unpack this word in the Hebrew. It has two meanings. Two meanings. The first meaning of comfort means he causes you to repent. And I'm like, okay, that's the rod. You're going in a direction. You're going in a direction that's dangerous. It's harmful, and I love you enough to warn you. And I'm even I love you enough that I may have to break something dear to you, so that you would go a different direction. And it's comforting to know God would love us that much. And the second meaning of this Hebrew word means to be consoled. Well, that's the staff. Come here, little one. Come here, you're freaking out. I just want to love on you. He consoles us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I just believe that there's people here that God is trying to get your attention. Like, son, daughter, I've been trying to warn you. Will you listen? Change directions. Or some of you are like, I just need to be reminded that my shepherd loves me. He loves me. He is for me. What an amazing shepherd we have. Could you bow your head and close your eyes? God, as I look across this room, I don't know where they're at. I do know what you wanted me to teach today, and I'm just the messenger. God, I know that there's people here that you are trying to warn. They're in a direction that's dangerous. And you love them enough to get their attention, and you may have to break them in some way for them to finally come by your side. Lord, whatever it takes, work in their life that would bring about repentance. God, I believe that there's men and women here, teenagers here, that they just need to be reminded how much you love them, that you are the good shepherd, that you're there to console them and encourage them, to remind them that you love them. God, do that. Take your word, comfort us in the ways we need it. Thank you for being a great and a good shepherd. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.